Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates.
Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. To find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, go to our website, kfuo.org, and look for the CUW logo in the sponsor section there.
It is a good day. We are celebrating Lutheran schools this week. Joining me in studio today, Mrs. Erica Mildred, headmaster at Messiah Lutheran Classical Academy in Keller, Texas. Erica, thanks for spending some time with us. Good to have you in studio today.
Thank you, Andy. It's good to be here.
And to spend some time here in Missouri, stepping out of Texas for a little bit, tell us about your journey to Texas. What brought you to Messiah Lutheran Classical Academy in Keller, Texas?
This is a great God story. I think that we have lots of those floating around among Lutheran schools, and my story is probably very similar to many, if you would ask them. But I actually feel like God... God led me to Messiah through my training, first of all, at Concordia University, River Forest, now Chicago.
Yes.
And I taught for 7 years in Lutheran high schools and junior, senior high school programs. Mm-hmm. Two of the three were classical schools, and so that was what introduced me to the classical curriculum and methodology. We lost funding and ended up having to close when I was teaching in Iowa at our classical Lutheran high school in Iowa. And I, after a short stint with postal work, which that's the one part of my my job journey that I'm not sure how fits in with this job, I ended up working for a Catholic man doing fundraising of capital campaigns and feasibility studies for mostly Catholic churches and schools in Iowa, Illinois, and Minnesota. And so I did that for 6 years and gained a lot of experience in marketing and was doing fundraising and raising millions of dollars for school programs. And certainly my background with education in general helped me in that job.
Sure.
But I also gained some really insightful tools and techniques on raising money, on marketing, on advertising, and all of those sorts of things. After that, God blessed us after 11 years with a child. And so I journeyed into that that route of stay-at-home mom and ended up doing homeschooling with my two. I started with a 2-year-old and then a newborn. So homeschooled them for a couple years, and it became increasingly obvious to both my husband and myself that while I felt very equipped to homeschool, given my background and experience and my passion for education, that my oldest really would thrive better in a day school setting, and that we wouldn't have so many heart battles, especially as the day went on. She was very bright, but also very stubborn, and really just needed that.
She obviously doesn't get that from your
not
side.
Not from
of
my side. No, of course not. But we, we realized that for her and her personality, she's so extroverted, and she thrived when she was with peers and not receiving all instruction on a formal basis all day long from mom. So we started our search for a school actually for her, and we are looking for something very specific. There are, I believe, 25 classical Lutheran schools across the country right now. And so we were looking for specifically a Lutheran school, given our background, and also a classical school, given our background. And it ended up that the senior pastor at Messiah remembered me from one of the conferences and a presentation I had given 12 years earlier when we did a classical conference in Wyoming, of all things. So he called me as we kind of put feelers out to about 5 different classical Lutheran schools. And he called me out of the blue based on that kind of initial, just kind of, we're looking for a school. And he said, "Are you the Erica Mildred who?" And lo and behold, I was. And one thing led to another. And so in addition to finding a wonderful school for our children, I also found a place where they needed someone who was familiar with classical Lutheran education, passionate about it, especially seeing it all the way through the high school level, because the school currently went through 8th grade, but they were wanting to grow the high school and add the high school component as well, and who had hopefully some experience in fundraising, because as we know, a lot of times in Lutheran schools, that's very helpful.
Right.
So God truly, I think, prepared me in all of my different adventures and walks of life, and it really was just... a God fit, if you will.
Tell us about the community where Messiah Lutheran Classical Academy is in Keller, Texas. Tell us a little bit about Keller.
Sure. Keller is a wonderful place from what I know of it in the 8 months I've lived there. It's really unique because it's in the greater metroplex, which is Dallas-Fort Worth. Mm-hmm. Where my home, which is less than a mile from school, we can get to downtown Fort Worth in under 30 minutes, and we can get to downtown Dallas in about 45 minutes. And so nearby, we have every possible convenience that you can find in terms of a large metropolitan area. And yet Keller itself has this very small town, very homey feel to it. It doesn't feel big at all. They have a beautiful town center, lots of paths and parks and landscaped areas, and a lot of community involvement. And so it's kind of that small town feel with everything that you can get from a big city as well. It's a very unique place, and it's been very enjoyable living there.
Obviously, you haven't been there long enough because you haven't picked up the accent yet.
Not yet. My daughters have already started to pick it up. It's quite interesting. But
well, how is Messiah Lutheran Classical Academy a part of that community? How does it fit into the community? How are families are families starting to learn about Messiah? How long has the school been there, or the academy been there?
Sure. That's a great question. The church itself was a planter church. It was one of those mission congregations that was started only 32 years ago. And shortly after they started, they immediately wanted to start a school. I think that's a great testament and a testimony to the importance of education and these kind of founding Lutherans in this congregation who then said, hey, we can't just have a congregation. We need to have a mission, and let's make it education. So that's always been, from the very founding of the congregation, a true mission and calling. And they started it with a preschool, and they had the preschool going for many years. And at that time in the area, there were very few preschools. And so it flourished and even had a waiting list and so forth. Our preschool has shrunk since then, just because there have been many other preschools that have, you know, popped up in the area, and there's more of a competitive base, if you will, in the area. But after several years of running the preschool, they decided, well, let's go farther. And in 1999, they added on to their facility to what is there now, which is a two-story school building in addition to a preschool wing. And they've just added grades since then. So still, though, in the whole context of things, it's a pretty young school, about 15 years.
Wow. So did they just add a grade each year then?
They did. I think when they started with like kindergarten through second or kindergarten through third and so forth. At one point, they went all the way through the high school years, and then they kind of suspended the high school for a few years, and we are now finally adding it back in and for good this time so that we can be a complete classical program.
Wonderful. And how many students now are in those high school years?
That's a great question. We only have ninth grade this year, so we are just starting out with that. But we do have 114 from preschool on up.
Wonderful.
We don't look at it as a different school or a different program. Sure. We're trying to be very all-encompassing. We have one school. 2-year-old is where we start all the way through, eventually 12th grade. Next year, we'll add 10th.
Now, I noticed, if I remember correctly, in some of the information that you shared with me before, that you referred to the students as scholars.
Yes.
Tell me about these scholars.
Yes. Well, first of all, I have to confess that we borrowed that phrase or that term from Pastor Kane, who also is a headmaster at a classical Lutheran school out in Wyoming. But I attended a session of his last summer at the conference, and they refer to their students as scholars. And I thought, that is really exciting. And we had several faculty members from Messiah that were at the conference and at his session as well. And we all thought that is such an uplifting and motivating way to describe them. And it really describes the academic work that we are about in a respectful and also an uplifting way. And it's really taken off. It's amazing how now we as faculty talk about it, but the parents call their children scholars now, and the children call each other scholars. And it's such an it's such an honor-filled title that I think it really shows the respect that we have for the children in what they're doing at the school each day.
What does it mean for them to be a scholar? What is it about this school, about this environment, and what they're studying that makes them scholars?
Sure. Well, I think the first thing about classical education in general, especially for classical Lutheran education, is that we recognize that God has created all that he has made, and he has called it good and beautiful and true. And so in classical education, we really look for those ways to teach our students who have also been made by a wonderful creator of what is true, good, and beautiful in life, in the world that God has created and made for us. And so the term scholar is just another way to recognize that that uniqueness, that value that God has placed upon all of us as his sons and daughters. And it also recognizes the importance of what we study, that we study what matters and is of importance and value in our world today.
Very good. What is good, truth and beauty, to look for those things and to be able to focus on those things and what matters, all that God has created and all that God values. Those are the important things to study. And glad to hear that there's a school and that there are other schools as well, but that you're focusing on that at Messiah. What, when you think about all that your students learn, all that they study, all that they experience there at Messiah Lutheran Classical Academy, what are they prepared for? What are they equipped for when they've completed their education there? They go preschool through 12th grade. What is the student now? Granted, I know that we're still working on the students in the high school years, but what are they equipped for? What do you hope that when they've completed their education there, what are they going to be prepared to do?
Sure. I want to answer that question, but in order to do that, I want to lay a little bit of language groundwork about the methodology that we use with the trivium in classical methodology. And this is a methodology that has been used for millennia. Since the time of the ancient Greeks and Romans and through the Renaissance and now in a resurgence in the last few decades in our country as well. But the trivium is made up of three stages: the grammar stage, the logic, or sometimes referred to as the dialectic stage, and the rhetoric stage. And these are stages not only that we know in this proper order work just because of history and because of who has come before us in terms of using this methodology, but also we're finding now in terms of brain development, it's how the brain develops as well. So at the grammar level stage of learning, which really starts, frankly, in utero, as soon as babies can hear in the womb, the brain is optimally primed for learning through repetition, through memorization. It's a key time to engage the brain in those kind of memory drills and to lay that foundation of language, vocabulary, definition, and so forth. And then the logic stage comes next, in which we help students see the connections between subjects and between what they are learning, those definitions, and then connecting them with the hows and the whys, the causes and effects. The rhetoric stage comes last, typically in the high school years, where students become masters of every subject. They become eloquent and persuasive, communicative, and are able to put their own unique voice into this great conversation that has come, regardless of if it is history or science or math and so forth. So to answer your initial question about what are they prepared for, as they go through all of these stages, the grammar, the logic, and the rhetoric stage, it's these layers of foundation that are laid upon one another in the right sequencing and order so that they really are equipped to learn for life, to master whatever materials may come their way in the adult world, whether that be formal schooling beyond high school or anything relating to their future vocations, that they have this, not just the structure and the knowledge of different subjects in place, but they have a way to learn and a way to master any new material that they experience for the rest of their lives.
Do you share that with everybody who talks about, who looks at coming to Messiah Lutheran Classical Academy? Because I think if I were ready to start looking at a school, you would have convinced me.
Yeah, I do actually. And then I take it one step farther because in my experience in past, I was an athlete and I like comparing classical education to athletics, because it's the one area of our country where classical education, even in public schools, private schools, you name it, is still alive and active. Mm-hmm. We teach sports classically, and it's why we're so successful in America with sports. So we teach the grammar level first. We teach them, in my sports case, basketball, how to dribble, how to shoot, the right and wrong ways to pass. And then we practice them over and over. In fact, we call them drills. And interestingly enough, when you have kids first learning the sport of basketball, they love these drills. It not only gives them a sense of accomplishment as they achieve things, mm-hmm. but it also, again, lays that foundation and groundwork, you know, that muscle memory and the coordination mm-hmm. and skills that they need in order to eventually put it all together. The logic stage would be where you teach the offense and the defense and the zone and the man-to-man and the plays. And only then, when they have the grammar level and the logic level laid and mastered, would a coach be okay if he was calling play one for a player to decide, oh no, that's not going to work, and change it to play two. If they did that early on, when a coach called play one and they were just learning the game, I'm sure that player would be on the bench having a nice conversation with their coach. So we see that these skills that are taught in this proper sequencing are used all the time in sports, and it works very well. Kids love it through all of the phases mm-hmm. as they grow and learn, and it does allow for mastery. And so we just use that as the teaching methodology for all of our classes.
And what are some of the things that students learn? What are some of the things they experience? I had a chance to watch a video from your school earlier, and I saw some things, and I saw an arrow coming at me in part of the video. And it looks like archery was one class, but it looks like you cover a lot of things in your school. What are some of the things that the students love learning at Messiah?
Sure. We have all of the same kind of core subjects that you would study. We do everything. This is the Lutheran part of it. But we do everything from a Christian worldview. So,
sure.
But they love science and they love math. We use Saxon, which I know is very common and popular among a lot of our Lutheran schools now. But it also has that same kind of laying the foundation mm-hmm. and continuing to lay it and that repetition in that program. We use Saxon phonics as well. We study Latin formally. As a language, we say Latin is a dead language, and that's great for our students because a dead language means it's not going to change. And I was an English major, and I can tell you that the rules of English change, especially if you're going to be a descriptive grammarian versus a prescriptive one. And you can get into, you know, English debates about that. And so students a lot of times have they just get frustrated with all of the exceptions to English and all of the rule changes to English. And yet Latin doesn't have that. Latin is a language because it is dead. In other words, it's no longer spoken. Latin is a language that is fixed in terms of its rules. Moreover, more than half of our vocabulary from English comes directly from the Latin. And I can testify to this myself, taking Latin in high school, that it's very much helpful in terms of ACT, SAT, vocabulary, and English preparation in general.
Absolutely. And I can imagine that. Having taken Greek in college, taking mm-hmm. Koine Greek, I remember our professor saying, now, if you've taken Latin, this is going to be really easy for you. Mm-hmm. And I just really regretting that I had not taken Latin. I didn't have the opportunity to take Latin yes. when I was in high school, but I actually
learned what an infinitive was in Latin before I learned what an infinitive was in English. So there's a lot of dovetailing with the grammar itself that help you understand how words function and how mm-hmm. to use them effectively and appropriately. Going back to your question about archery, we do offer archery. When we have enough student interest, we've offered soccer in the past mm-hmm. and basketball. This year for after-school activities, we have group orchestra, chess, archery, and basketball, karate, and drama. So those are the things that our kids participate in outside of the school day. And in most cases, we for the grades that we allow to participate, we have nearly 100% participation. So the kids are excited even to mm-hmm. stay beyond the school day to participate in these things.
What does a typical school day look like for students at Messiah?
the first thing we do, other than the whole drop off and unpack your backpacks and get situated in the morning, is we do chapel every day. And it's one program for our 2-year-olds all the way through high school. Our older scholars serve the younger ones as chapel buddies. I know that's a common practice mm-hmm. among a lot of our Lutheran schools. But I tell you, we do a form of either matins or morning prayer or prayer and preaching. And we do this in rotation based on the seasons of the church year. We do this every day. About 70% of our student body is not Lutheran. And they sing the liturgy, including the 2- and 3-year-olds, just as well, if not better, than what you hear on Sunday morning. It is really fantastic what they're able to do. We have a catechesis program where students are memorizing all 6 chief parts of the catechism. And they are also memorizing Bible verses and memorizing some things in Latin as well. So I actually have a video of my daughter, Emma. She's 4. And she has just finished learning the entire Lord's Prayer in Latin. Pronunciation and everything. It's amazing.
That's impressive. Now, you mentioned that about 70% of your students do not come from a Lutheran background. Through their involvement with this school, have there been some families that have said, who are these Lutherans in we find this interesting what you're teaching, you know, my son's coming home or my daughter's coming home and talking about these things at home. We want to know more about what Lutherans teach.
Absolutely. We've gained on both ends. And I'm thinking that most Lutheran schools with a day school find this experience to be mm-hmm. true on both ends. But we do have families that join the school because they join the church. But we also have the opposite, where families join the school and are not Lutheran and maybe are not even churched, and they join the church through that. So it's definitely a mission and an outreach. We did have one student, a second grader, who came back to us after Christmas break and told us that she had gotten baptized in her church because we had been talking about baptism before Christmas break. So those kind of faith moments are happening, and they are very exciting. Yet it's also a very much a strengthening for all of our families that are members of our Lutheran church to be able to have a Lutheran day school like this.
What do you love most about being a part of? I know you've only been there for a little while, but what do you love most about being part of Messiah Lutheran Classical Academy?
I think that I would have to say I enjoy most being able to help to direct, to strengthen, and to promote this education and this daily faith life so that my children have a place that they can be, attend, and one day graduate from high school. I think that certainly that's perhaps a selfish way to look at things, but I guess I look at it as, you know, my calling as a wife and a mom, you know, was a vocation that was placed upon me. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I get to do that vocation and another vocation serving all these other families with their children at the mm-hmm. same time, it's truly both humbling and very much a blessing.
What kind of responses have you received from parents of students at Messiah? Have we talked about this already?
I don't think so.
What response have you received from parents of students at Messiah that make you say, yes, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is what classical Lutheran education is all about.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Some of the responses so far, and again, I've only been there 8 months.
Sure.
So in many ways, it feels like I've been there much longer. I love the families that way. They're very welcoming, and you really do feel like a part of mm-hmm. that family so quickly. Some of the comments that I've heard, I love when parents tell me things like, and they say it in a joking way, but they mean it with true thankfulness. They say, my kid is doing these things. I don't even know what is going on because it's just amazing what they're learning. You know, things like that. Mm-hmm. I never learned this kind of stuff. And yet they know that we have teachers who we've even had help sessions for, especially Latin, because many of us mm-hmm. haven't taken Latin.
Right.
And so as parents, you're trying to help your child with their own Latin homework. But this idea that their scholars have already surpassed in some ways or been exposed to things that they were never exposed to mm-hmm. in their education. And even though they say it with kind of a smile on their face, you know that they're truly appreciative that their kids are having such an amazing exposure to education, and that that's being afforded to them. We've had from that to the other end of the spectrum with tears about how their child just couldn't find the right fit for them. And one of the amazing things about Messiah is we are a school for everyone. Is it a difficult or a tough curriculum? Sure. Can all children be exposed and can do this? Yeah, they can. And this is a school that says your kid can do this. Your child can learn this. And we're going to partner together. This is not a, we're not a school where parents drop their children off at 8 a.m. and then we say, okay, we'll take it from here. And then they come and pick them up at 3:30 and then they take it from there. It's truly a partnership. We actually have a phrase that we use in loco parentis. It means, it's a Latin phrase. It means in the place of the parent. And so we at Messiah believe that it's really God, the God-given responsibility is given to the parents to, in all things, raise their children. And that includes education. We aren't there to usurp that at all. We are there to partner with them on that. So we have parents that volunteer if they can, and they come in and help us with our catechesis program. We have parents that are room moms that serve. We have parents that can't come in during the school day, but they work at home with their children. And when they see something where their child has had a difficult problem or something where they're just not understanding, they reach out to the teacher and there's that partnership going on. So there's a lot of communication going on both ways. And I think our parents see that and really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I tell our parents, especially the prospective families that I've had the privilege of visiting with prior to their deciding to come to Messiah, that if you have a child, you are a homeschool parent. Some of us do that homeschooling.
Right.
Full-time. And some of us do that part-time, and then we partner with a day school part-time. But regardless, we as parents are always the child's primary educator and the child's best educator. And so having a school that shares that vision and that attitude about parents and their role, their God-given role with their children, I think is refreshing and encouraging to families in this day and age.
Well, we are out of time, but I want to make sure that we give information about the Messiah Lutheran Classical Academy so that folks can reach you or find out more about the academy, their website, that they can check that out.
Yes, it's www.mlca, that stands for Messiah Lutheran Classical Academy, Texas. It's spelled out, T-E-X-A-S, So mlcatexas.org.
Very good. mlcatexas.org. You can find out more about Messiah Lutheran Classical Academy in Keller, Texas, and a phone number for the school as well.
817-431-5486.
Very good. Our guest today, Mrs. Erica Mildred, headmaster at Messiah Lutheran Classical Academy in Keller, Texas. Thanks for being our guest on Faith and Family today.
Thank you for having me.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Since the legalization of abortion, the nightmarish days of dirty back alley abortions are still with us. Legal abortion is harming women. Here's a few recent headlines. It was like torture. Woman says nurse strapped her to the table for abortion without anesthesia. Here's another. Chicago abortion clinic that killed four women in abortions injures three women in 2 days. Another read, 911 call reveals woman bleeding uncontrollably after botched abortion. And eight more women come forward against abortionists accused of fraud. Finally this, study admits thousands hospitalized every year from botched abortions. We must stop harming women and killing babies.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed. more informed than you've ever been.
Hi, Craig D'Onofrio here. I want to invite you to join me Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. for Reformation Rush Hour. We'll have some of today's most interesting and intelligent people on the show. We'll talk about news that affects your faith. We'll look at the world around you and talk about how it interacts with Christianity. And we'll have a good time doing it all. This is the fastest hour in radio as you drive home Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. right after Issues Etc. on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on behalf of Concordia Plan Services, Lutheran Church Extension Fund, the LCMS Foundation, Lutheran Housing Support Corporation, Concordia University System, and Corporate Synod, daily reaches out to our members and partners, working together to support our local, global, and international ministries, church workers, and LCMS initiatives at large to carry the mission forward and to serve each other in love. Opportunities to serve, lcms.org/jobsboard.
Are you one of the 1.32 billion Facebook users? More importantly, do you follow Worldwide KFUO on Facebook? When you follow KFUO, you'll learn about upcoming programs and guests. You'll see pictures of the studio and live KFUO events. Go to facebook.com/KFUO radio and click the like button. Then share us with your friends and follow along throughout the day. Liking KFUO radio on Facebook will help you share the faith with your friends and keeps you up to date on what's going on at Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Finding just the right partner is a blessing when it comes to achieving God's plans. Hi, I'm Rich Robertson, President and CEO of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Before taking this position, I worked with LCEF in my home congregation. It was a joy to find a true Lutheran partner that understood our unique needs as we built a school and welcomed new families into our church and community. I hope you experience that joy too. Visit lcef.org to find out how your ministry can become empowered in its kingdom work.
Worldwide KFUO is the most trusted place for sacred music of the church every night. Weeknights after evening prayer, you can hear sacred music on KFUO in St. Louis, streaming online at kfuo.org. Our online stream is in high-quality stereo, so you can hear the difference wherever you listen, on your computer or Wi-Fi radio, and on your smartphone. We're Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news for 90 years.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is good to be with you this Monday, January 26th. We are celebrating National Lutheran Schools Week, and it is a good week. It was great to hear from our friends at Messiah Lutheran Classical Academy in Keller, Texas. Now, moving a little bit closer to home, here to the St. Louis area, we're going to visit with our friends from Lutheran High School South here in the St. Louis area. So hope you can stick around for the conversation. Some of the voices might be familiar. We've had a chance to talk with our friends from Lutheran South in the past. Joining me in studio this morning, Mr. Brian Reichard, principal at Lutheran South. Good morning.
Morning, Andy. Thanks.
Good to have you here. Thanks for spending some time with us. How are things going at Lutheran South?
We're keeping busy.
Yeah.
Dynamic group of young people, wonderful group of dedicated professional and the rest of our staff, and really, really committed parents. It's a joy to be there.
Wonderful. Very good. And you brought along with you some students today. Here during at the International Center during Lutheran Schools Week, we have some of the schools in the area come visit the International Center and join us for chapel and take a tour of the site here at the International Center and bring the gift of music today. And since I was here in studio, I didn't have the privilege of get to enjoy the music, but we'll talk about some of the music here in a little bit. Joining us in studio today, Kara McKenzie, is that right?
Yes.
Kara, good to have you in studio today. You're a junior, is
yes,
that right?
Yes, I am.
At Lutheran High School South. Glad to have you here today. We're going to talk more about your high school career at Lutheran South in just a little bit.
Sounds good.
And Nolan Connolly, is that right?
That is me.
Nolan, good to have you in studio. You're a senior.
I am.
And you can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Oh, absolutely.
We have, now Mr. Ryard, we have no cases of senioritis, do we?
And yes, we do.
Not yet.
Yes, we do.
Okay, Nolan does, but most of the children don't.
None of the students do at Lutheran South. They love it so much, they just want to stay there forever.
Wish there was one more year.
That was pretty good. Yeah. That's good. You're getting some points there for that.
I don't believe him, though. Considering they have to be in school, they're happy to be at Lutheran South. But as they become seniors, it's right and appropriate that they should start wanting to go to the next level.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about that next level. Let's talk about what your hopes and plans are after high school. Kara, what are you thinking about? Now, you're a junior. You have a little more time.
Yeah.
What are you thinking about? Do you have your sights set on something after high school?
Right now, my plan is to be an elementary school teacher. Mm-hmm. I'm looking to stay in the state of Missouri for college, but I really don't know where I want to go.
Very good. So you're checking out some schools here in Missouri. Well, wonderful. What inspired you to think about education, to be an elementary school teacher?
I've wanted to be an elementary school teacher probably throughout high school, but I really wanted to be a teacher. I knew when I was about in second grade, I really just loved teaching. I've always loved doing VBS at church. I've loved helping kids all throughout my life.
Did you have some great teachers along the way that encouraged you?
Oh yes. Very many.
Very good. Very good. Now, Nolan, senior, do you have plans for next year? Already working on those plans?
I do. I'm planning on going to Mizzou next year.
Very good. And what are you planning on studying at Mizzou?
I'll probably be majoring in marketing, but that's kind of an interim thing because I'm honestly not sure what I want to do, to be honest. I have some hobbies that I might want to like capitalize on for my future, but I'm still not very sure.
What do you enjoy doing? You mentioned hobbies.
I play a lot of music, so I sing obviously in the choir, and then I also play guitar, so I might want to be in a band.
Very good.
You never know what life's going to do to you, but
now,
it's a dream.
Both of you sing in choir, as I understand. What were some of the selections you presented this morning for chapel?
We sang, Your Word is a Lamp to My Feet, and Breath of the Living God.
Both of those are from Bible texts.
Sure. How long have you been singing? Nolan, how long have you been singing in choirs?
I've been singing since my sophomore year in high school. I didn't do my freshman year just because it didn't really fit into my schedule, but then I went right into concert choir, and then my junior year I was in Lancer Singers, and this year I'm the senior in Lancer Singers.
Very good. Kara, how about you? How long have you been singing?
I started as a sophomore in Mixed Women, and then I jumped to Lancer Singers as a junior. So I've only done choir at South for 2 years now.
So is Lancer Singers the choir to be in?
Absolutely.
Yes, definitely.
Some of the top dogs.
What do you love about being in Lancer Singers? What do you enjoy about being a part of choir?
I think it's just the music is a lot more complicated than it is in earlier choirs, and I really enjoy that because I like the diverse music selections that we have.
We do some stuff with the other choirs, but it is a lot of fun. We have a good time up in Lancer Singers.
Well, let's talk about your education overall at Lutheran High School South. What brought you to Lutheran High School South? Why did your family consider this high school as a choice for you for your high school education? Kara?
I came to Lutheran South mainly because it's kind of been in my family. My mom went to Lutheran South, my uncles, my siblings, and my cousins. It's been kind of in the family, and I've been a Lutheran all my life, and it was just a easy decision for me.
So it's something that the family has been a part of. It's been a part of your family for a long time. And so it was pretty easy, no-brainer. It was an easy choice. Nolan, how about for you? How did your family come to make the choice for you to attend Lutheran High School South?
For me, our family actually moved here about 5 years ago, and we were looking around for schools. And we found Lutheran South. Actually, my brother was in high school at the time. And he decided to come here from Wisconsin. That's where we used to live. And we found that it was just a great place to be. And my brother, he started going here his sophomore year in high school. And he only told me that it was a pretty great high school. So I had no reason to doubt him. So I decided to go here. And I can't say that I've hated it too much.
What do you appreciate about your education and your experience at Lutheran High School South?
I think the most important thing to me is the relationship that the students and teachers have with one another. Like, I know for a fact that I can go up to almost any one of my teachers, and if I have a question, about any one of my assignments, and they'll always have an answer for me. And that's really important for me.
Yeah. The small class size and the personal relationships you have with your teachers is one of the greatest things that I could ask for in a high school.
What about when it comes to learning God's word, when it comes to your faith? How does your high school help with that?
It's helped me. We have chapel 3 times a week, and we have small groups called Kairos 2 times a week. And so you get to really interact with your faith. In Kairos, we play games and we do devotions, and we have many speakers come in for chapel, and we have a good time getting to share our faith with our teachers, with our friends, and then take it home to our families.
Great. Nolan?
I just see that everybody there shares your faith with you. So that really helps me along, because I know I've had my struggles, but I've always had a group of people always around me all the time, always just helping me throughout my faith life. And I think that's very important.
Mr. Ryard, as you hear these students talking about their experience at Lutheran High School South and your life as an educator, is this what you would hoped? What you hope students would experience? Is this what you hope that as an educator your students would gain?
Well, I'm obviously delighted that he doesn't hate it too much. the relationships, that's huge. When you have all of these people in Christ together, living life through ups and downs and difficulties and good times, there's a bond. We have students coming, they come back. And we're always happy to see them because the relationship doesn't end.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it changes form, certainly.
Sure.
Because we're in loco parentis. Mm-hmm. You know, we are their guardians while they're there. And as soon as they graduate, we become everything from friends to trusted advisors to confidants to whatever they need.
Mm-hmm. And for some of them, eventually colleagues.
That has happened, and we hope that it will continue to happen.
What led up, I don't know if we had a chance to talk about this in the past, but what led up to your vocation as an educator? Why did you choose to be an educator, and now what led up to being a principal?
Well, the whole educator thing seems a little strange because I was pre-seminary in college, Greek, Hebrew, theology, the whole thing. And then the Lord saw fit to make sure my wife, who was also a teacher, did not get placed in Fort Wayne or St. Louis. So we went to Houston with the notion that I would work wherever I could get a job and she would fulfill her call to Pilgrim Lutheran Church. And the morning I was going for my first job interview, I got a phone call from Dave Sommermeyer at Lutheran North. Their theology teacher had left for a different school. I think it was August 7th, which is not a happy timing for him.
Yeah.
So I started teaching. Loved it. And then somewhere in the mix, it came to me that I had some ideas that I thought were good. And the only way to make sure they could be put into practice was to move into the principal's office.
So you continued in Lutheran education, now serving as principal at Lutheran High School South. How long have you been principal here at Lutheran South?
I'm in my 7th year.
Very good. Very good. Well, let's talk about Lutheran education in general. What do you appreciate about the opportunity to be a part of Lutheran education, to be a part of Lutheran South? Why is it important to you that you get to be a teacher and educator, that you get to be a student in a Lutheran school? Why is it important to you?
The relationships are important. The ability to speak God's truth and His love into the lives of young people makes all of the other stuff that comes with an occupation worth it. It is, there's never a question of whether what we do is worth anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because all you have to do is walk into the building and there's the reason for your being is the students. So it's incredibly rewarding. Most of the time, fun. Most of the time.
Especially when they don't hate it that much.
Right. That's important.
Kara, now, did I hear correctly, did you attend a Lutheran school before Lutheran South as well?
Yes, I did. I attended St. Paul's in De Pere.
going through Lutheran schools, what do you appreciate about being a student in a Lutheran school and just the opportunity that you get to attend Lutheran schools?
I would have to say that it's a great thing because of how I get to talk. I can talk to my teachers about my faith, and if I have questions, I can ask them. And if I need a little help, and they can always help pray with me, or we can just talk about our life in a bigger sense than just what my day was like.
You're able to talk about all aspects of life.
Yeah.
And it sounds like that being able to speak about your faith, to engage in conversation with a Christian worldview and for that to be in a safe environment to do that is what I hear you saying. Nolan, how about you? Is this your first Lutheran school, or did you attend a Lutheran school prior to this?
This actually is my first Lutheran school. I used to go to a Presbyterian. I'm actually not sure if that's completely true, but I went to a private school in the Baldwin area. It was Twin Oaks.
Sure.
And that's where I used to go when we first moved here, but we decided to go to a Lutheran school just because my brother had such a great experience with it. So.
Very good. And what do you appreciate about having this opportunity to go to a Lutheran school?
I just really like the fact that it's almost like the size of the school makes it so that we're almost like a big family.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we have a relationship with nearly every student in the school, or at least in our class. Like, I can tell you for a fact, I'm really going to miss my class next year when I'm off to college. And it's just not going to be the same because it's going to be way bigger of a school. So I want to have a relationship with my class the same way that I do. So
and all of your classmates that were here for choir are all heading out right now. It looks like they've all got to head back. You guys get to hang out, miss class a little bit longer today. Speaking of classes, what are some of your favorite subjects? What are the things you enjoy studying at Lutheran South and why? Kara?
Probably one of my favorite subjects right now is Spanish. I have had a relationship with Yesleta Lutheran Mission in El Paso, and I've been there about 6 or 7 times. I'm currently planning a trip in spring break, and I love getting to learn the language so that when I go to El Paso or to Juarez, Mexico, I can use my Spanish and even have a broader audience that I can talk to with my ability of speaking Spanish.
So what you're learning in the classroom, you get to apply and use in real life.
Yeah.
How did you get connected with the Isleta Mission?
Actually, my youth group did mission trips long when I was a lot younger. My siblings got very involved. And then my sister worked and lived there for 3 years. So it's come a very second home to my family.
Wow. So your family is strongly connected to Lutheran South and to this to the mission in Isleta. And so it all kind of fits together. It sounds like family is certainly important to you as well.
Yes.
Who's your Spanish teacher?
Mrs. Perkowski.
Yeah. You can give a shout out to your favorite teachers today if you want.
Okay.
Nolan, favorite subject?
Right now, I'd probably say my favorite subject is psychology.
Yeah? Why psychology?
I really find it interesting to study the mind and like how it works and like all the functions of the mind and how our intelligence works and all that kind of stuff. I just find that very interesting. And we also have a very good teacher who also happens to be the dean of students, Mr. Daniel Harms. And he's a very good teacher, as well as a very strict dean of students. Me and him have become close over the last 4 years.
Sounds like a developing a relationship there. Yes. Well, so I'm glad to hear that you enjoy these subjects. What about extracurricular activities and other activities, service opportunities? Have you participated in any service opportunities, service projects, or anything like that?
Currently, I am the vice president of the NHS, and we have been building a relationship with Zion and Ferguson. Over around Halloween, we collected almost 2,000 books to replenish their library. And then we continued that relationship by adopting 2 families out of the early childhood center there, and we provided a couple Christmas presents for each member of the family. And it was great to see how much we've become, like, they're our little family, they're another section of our family at Lutheran South, and we're excited to continue that relationship.
Very good. So NHS, National Honor Society, right?
Yes.
Nolan, any service opportunities you've participated in?
Well, our entire school actually takes part in, we call them faith in action mm-hmm. trips for, like we said about our Kairoses.
Sure.
We plan these trips, like there's one a year, and for faith in action, you just go and you serve some people for a whole day. And what my Kairos did is we went to a church, I think it was in Ferguson, and we just cleaned up the place, and it was really cool to see how, like, delighted they were to see just like a small act of service, mm-hmm. and they just appreciated it so much. It was great.
Mr. Reichert, how does service learning fit into education at Lutheran South?
It's all part of helping parents define what's normal.
Mm-hmm.
It's normal, for instance, at the simplest level, it's normal to do your homework. It's normal to try to do well in school. It's normal to go to college. More importantly, it's normal to be able to share your faith. It's normal to look at people in need and feel a responsibility to them. And it's normal to try to do something about it. It's all part of our identity as God's people. We are here for works of service. And so to try and provide opportunities for the young people to practice.
Mm-hmm.
And they're extraordinary. I mean, they're able to identify issues and come up with at least partial solutions or complete solutions. And they just take the ball and run with it. And it is our job to facilitate and to aid and to help. And it works really well.
What have these students mentioned, some of the service projects? Some of them are right here at home, right in our own backyard here in the St. Louis area. Do any of the projects go outside of the St. Louis area or in other parts of the world?
Yes, though we don't do summer mission trips because our churches do.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to, we
sure.
absolutely don't want to disconnect our young people from their churches. We have done a hurricane relief trip. Now, thankfully, we haven't had a hurricane recently. And we're also in partnership with a couple of schools in Rwanda, an elementary school and a high school. Our dean of students, Mr. Harms, goes over, and another couple of staff are going with him this year. If I could talk my wife into letting me, I would go with him. Anybody who knows her, please put a word in her ear. She's afraid I'll get eaten by a lion. But
it's reasonable.
We would have to be a big lion. we help raise funds for mm-hmm. them. This past Christmas, we provided solar lamps because they have no electricity, and it is just almost mind bending to look at people who are in a Lutheran high school, which is in its mission and ministry virtually identical to ours, but their circumstances are so different.
Yeah.
And to recognize that God has blessed us so richly, and because of the shrinking globe, we're actually able to help.
Very good. Well, we are just about out of time. Anyone you want to thank or any shout-outs you want to give today as we wrap up our conversation? We'll start with you, Mr. Ryan.
Just want to thank the parents for trusting us with their children.
Very good. And Kara, McKinsey?
Guess shout-out to... my sister and my brother and sister-in-law and parents, hey, and everybody out at South.
And Nolan Connolly, thanks for being our guest. Any shout-outs today?
Absolutely. I'd like to give a shout-out to my three good friends, Nick Taylor, Sam Pruitt, and Jake Holtgreave.
Very good. Thank you all for being my guest today, spending some time with us here at Worldwide KFUO, and being our guest here in the studio. It's great to have some time with you today. Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word. Hope you can join us for that. And a program note, tomorrow here in the St. Louis area, our AM signal will be down for technical reasons. But we will continue live streaming on the internet. So you can always find us on the internet, KFUO.org. You can find archives of our programs there as well, including today's program, which was recorded. You can go back and download it, share it with your friends, share it on Facebook and other places. Thanks so much for listening to Faith and Family Today. Thy Strong Word up next right here on Worldwide KFUO.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.